Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with wonderful guests who are experts on today's topic. And today we are discussing the topic of multifamily management challenges. Joining me in the studio are longtime multifamily industry veterans, Nina Kirtley and Kurt Gilpin. Thanks for joining me, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the invite.
So that's a broad topic, management challenges. But you guys have been around the industry for a long time. So I'm sure you've seen a lot of things. You come across a lot of challenges. One of the things that we've talked about often on the show is the challenges of today are somewhat different than maybe the challenges were 15 years ago or 10 years ago even, because of internet and marketing, you know, email and having to respond to reviews online and things like that. But from a management standpoint, operationally on a property, some of the challenges I think have to do with dealing with residents. That's one of the big things that I hear a lot of people talking about is resident interaction and improving upon resident interaction and having a challenging resident that you have to deal with. Nina, talk a little bit about that and some of your experience with that.
Well, I guess I could go and say that has a lot to do with social media, because everybody these days is, you know, they're going on social media. If they're, you know, most of the time people are only doing it when they're mad or they're upset or a work order didn't get done. That's the first thing they're going to do is they're going to go on Google and put a negative review just, you know, out of anger. And a lot of times that they're exaggerating the story. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot where, say, someone's being evicted and they think by going and bashing the manager or the assistant manager or maintenance didn't take care of their AC is because they think that that's going to get them out of being evicted or having to go to court. So that's why we do have to be so very careful with how we handle prospects, residents, our vendors. It's no different than, you know, everyday life where you're supposed to treat people properly and with compassion and so that they treat us right.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, obviously social media is something that wasn't around 10 years ago to the extent that it is today. And I know that there are some companies that take the posture that they're going to have managers respond to reviews. Or to issues that come up from social media, and then sometimes that's all approved through the corporate office, or they have a third party that does a response that then is approved by the corporate office. Have you found any of those to be an easier way to do it or a better way to do it?
So we do not necessarily let our on-site teams reply to, you know, to a negative post, just due to the fact that we need to keep it uniformed, we need to keep it clean, and we don't, a lot of times they'll be, you know, back, the manager is, you know, angry because they're making a bad post. So we try to, you know, keep it professional, keep it consistent. A lot of times, you know, even I'll do the reviews back, but what I've found the most, you know, some companies, they have a full marketing department, a social media department that handles these type of things because it is so important these days, and the social media is growing, you know, substantially, you know, more every year. But I feel that the easiest part to do is the third party response. You know, they have a lot of different reputation management. I don't necessarily have a favorite, but there are a lot of companies out there that are utilizing it. It's not a real expensive expense. And at the end of the day, it's worth it if you're going to save or retain or to even have a new prospect come in the door. I still keep, keep up with what the third-party company is replying with, because they're not always, you know, replying with the greatest information.
Sure.
And so the biggest thing is, I tell my teams, stay on top of your social media. Check your reviews. Google your name daily, mm-hmm. because you never know who is writing what.
Yeah. Kurt, I know some of the properties that you've been on, a pretty large portfolio of properties. That's a lot of people to keep up with, that are putting out reviews, as well as the fact that you've got teams out there. What has your experience been with that?
One of the biggest things that I push with my teams is corporate outreach. Mm-hmm. I like to have my teams go out and market to our residents that are paying well, you know, the good standard residents, and taking them, you know, pizza, cake, whatever, to their places of employment.
Oh, okay.
To where they can see that we actually care, versus going to a small place and putting out flyers.
Yeah.
I think doing more on getting your residents on your side. I'm very big on resident retention, so I push to have a weekly event, at least one big one every month, one really big one every quarter, you know, mm-hmm. pool party, whatever it is. But I just think that's your best source of marketing, is, you know, having your residents push for you, because they know what you do.
Right. Yeah. I've said this on the show before, because we had somebody who brought this up, that, you know, they'd been in the industry for probably 20, 25 years. And, you know, they were talking about the fact that when they started in the industry to market a property, you know, there would be a magazine, someone would go pick up at a grocery store, and they may still be out there, I'm not sure. But that's really how you kind of got the word out for your properties. Today, with social media and people being able to research a property online, their concern is you don't know how many people you never get to talk to who will go online, look at some pictures, look at some reviews, and decide not to make a trip to the property to take a tour or to talk to someone. And so that's why they feel that social media is so important to keep up with. Not only the fact that they are you're dealing with reviews, but the pictures that are out there, of, you know, improving on those, so that when someone pulls up the name of the property, you have popping up what you want to have pop up. Now, there's some people that don't have the expertise to be able to do that, so they bring in somebody who's third party, and there's some people that they can do that on their own. Nita, what have you found when it comes to actually marketing the property?
Well, with what you're saying with, you know, the pictures, and I've been in the industry for 27 years and growing. So, yes, back that far back, we used the different, you know, apartment guides and magazines and the little stands, but now it is social media. Mm-hmm. My most recent, I guess, example I could use is, we had purchased a property about a year and a half ago, and it was a beautiful Class A property, and it was, you know, probably about 5 years old, in a great location, but in a very high, heavy flood area in Houston. And the first thing I did when we took over the property, when I came on board, actually, was I immediately went and Googled the name of the property. And I probably looked online probably for like 2 to 3 hours, going through every single page. And it was all derogatory. Mm. And it was derogatory because of the prior owner, not management company, but the prior owner, that was not doing what they needed to do to remediate the issues. And what was online were mad residents that were getting their cars flooded, or water inside their apartment because of the high water, which is Mother Nature. We can only correct that so much. But what was online were horrible, horrible pictures. Mold pictures, just everyone was posting pictures of their cars with the water over their, you know, hood. So that was the biggest thing, was and their traffic and the numbers were down. So once we started really working hard on that area to get these pictures and the reviews turned around on Google, did we not start getting traffic?
Mm.
And it was amazing how quick, And it was about it took us about three months. Mm-hmm. But once we got good ratings and pushing that to our current residents and even prior residents that were moving out, we would still have them go and, you know, post a good review so that you're pushing down all the negative ones from prior owners. And you can't go and write on there, oh, that's the old owners, you know,
right,
we're new. I mean, you can to an extent.
Sure.
But we're not into playing the blame game.
Right.
We're here to correct, you know, what we can correct moving forward.
Yeah, and I guess the you know, when you have to deal with that, you've got to make that decision as to, do you want to invest the money in, it depends on the size of the company. Do you want to invest that money in bringing someone to handle those types of things, or, as you said, preferring to do it through a third party? Every company is different, and you have to look at each individual situation differently, I guess. But we do have to take a quick break. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of multifamily management challenges. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio are longtime multifamily industry veterans, Nina Kirtley and Kurt Gilpin. Before we jump back in the conversation, I would like to provide our listeners our website address, so that if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, or just listen to an archive episode, go to our website at www.multifamilyradio.com. So one of the challenges, I think, in multifamily management has got to be the people that are actually working on site. I'm sure there's wonderful people. I know there's wonderful people that work there. Then there's some people that could be somewhat of a challenge. What have you guys found as far as some of the things, like I've heard people talk about phantom leases being done by, you know, people who actually have bad intentions or intentions to do something they shouldn't be doing, besides just challenging attitudes and so forth. What are some of those things you can warn some of our listeners to look out for?
One of the biggest things I can say is to be hands-on and not step away, not trust people to do what they're supposed to be doing.
Keep your eye on the ball.
Yeah, not trying to be ugly about it, but when you have these younger people coming into the industry, into the leasing positions and that type of stuff, they tend to try to, might change things up,
yeah,
do what they shouldn't be doing. So it's just always to be on top of your game and make sure that you're paying attention, auditing the files and doing what you need to do.
And what I've seen is, and a lot of my friends and peers in the industry from Houston to Dallas to California, the workforce of today is not what it used to be. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they feel they're entitled to, you know, like when I started out in the industry, I worked every single Saturday. Mm-hmm. I would get one off a week, one off a month, excuse me. But there's so many new leasing consultants or assistant managers or this or that would come into the industry and think, oh, I'm not working weekends. You need to pay me $20 an hour. And it's more or less of the workforce, I think, is just the mentality of, I guess, today's times. They're just not.
I guess the problem.
They expect a lot more, like, than we did. Like when I was started out, I was a leasing agent, and yeah, I got a commission, but I made, you know, $10 an hour. Mm-hmm. I worked my way up. What I tell my teams now is, don't expect to get paid. You're getting an hourly wage. You're getting paid well. Do your job. The commission is an extra incentive, but if you don't do your job, then there shouldn't be a commission. And there's some, you know, properties now that I've heard that aren't even, or companies that aren't paying commissions now. So,
I'm seeing that a lot more, to where they're taking away the commissions, but they're paying higher hourly rates or even higher salaries to managers or assistant managers, because it does kind of change the whole dynamics of, how they're. People, like, let's say, leasing a part, you know, like you said, phantom leases. Mm-hmm. Well, what that means is they're doing whatever they can to get a lease because they're going to be paid a commission on it, and they're not necessarily worried about the bottom line of what someone that's unqualified can do at the bottom line. Mm-hmm. But it happens. People are cheating the system, and mm-hmm. they've figured out how to work the system. So the companies are paying higher base salaries, and it completely changes the goals of the communities, and it changes the team building, and everybody kind of works together on a different level than everybody focused on just their job and focused on what they can make in their pocketbook. Because at the end of the day, we call them paycheck workers, mm-hmm. To where they're just there to collect a check, and they don't really necessarily are concerned about the ownerships, with their successes.
Sure. And you know, if one of the challenges is having good employees, then finding good employees has got to be a challenge too. What are some of the techniques that you guys have used to just in everyday life? I've had a lot of people talk to me that they are always on the lookout when they're in a restaurant for a server who's got that personality to be able to come in and be a great leasing agent or whatever it might be. What are some of the things that you guys have done to bring in good employees?
Well, I'm going to say, first of all, we should always promote from within. Mm-hmm. And if you're one of those companies to where you are hiring smart and you're wanting top caliber team members, you're able to promote within when you have those, say, leasing agents. You know, I started out as a leasing agent, and I've worked my way up. But I had the passion, and I had the desire to be more than what I was at the time. So first of all, you know, promote from within, train properly, keep involvement. And then, you know, a lot of people, they'll use recruiting companies, and they'll use, you know, post ads. But the biggest thing is, yes, you're right. You know, find somebody that has a personality, because at the end of the day, it's not just about a position. It's about a personality, because you can train someone, but you cannot train a personality.
And I totally agree. I mean, I'm big on what you said, Paul, about when I'm in a restaurant and I see a good server. Excuse me. And they're doing a great job. I say, hey, are you looking for a job? Have you ever thought about leasing apartments?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give him my card there. So I'm big on that. And then I'm big on promoting within as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I practice what I preach, I guess.
Yeah,
so I'm not going to ask my staff to do something that I won't do. So I think that's been a big success for me as I go in and I get with the teams and I, you know, we become family.
Sure.
And, you know, when I was a leasing agent before, it was kind of intimidating when the regional would come in. Mm-hmm. And I try to make sure that feeling doesn't come across from me.
Yeah.
Like I tell my teams, we're all equal. We all do the same things. Without you guys, I can't be successful. So I'm going to come in and, you know, I'm here to help. Whatever. Yeah. If I have to show an apartment, if I have to answer the phone, if I have to do whatever. And I don't want to be the boss unless you make me be the boss.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all here for the same common goal, is to make the property succeed, take care of our investors, our owners, and move forward. So I think that's been one of my biggest successes, is just, you know, everybody is equal. Everybody plays a big part in the game, all the way from the groundskeeper to the, you know, manager.
Sure.
I actually have a cute story. You know, I say this a lot, is don't judge a book by its cover, especially when you're interviewing and when you're hiring a certain position. And a lot of us, we do that. I mean, it's unfortunately. I have a funny story. Years ago, I went to Dillard's and I was at the makeup counter, and I don't know, I found some makeup eyeshadow or something that I wanted. And the sales lady, she had came up to me, and I was thinking, ooh, she was a little rough looking. And I thought, ooh, I do not want this girl to do my eye makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, well, she was such a good salesperson. She talked me into letting her do my eye makeup. And I have to tell you, I was with her for about an hour, and I absolutely fell in love with this girl.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of her demeanor and her attitude. And she was not a Christie Brinkley or anything like that. And that's because I judged a book by its cover. Shame on me.
Mm-hmm.
But she ended up doing the most beautiful makeup on me. And due to her passion for trying to make someone look pretty and beautiful, and just how she was just so full of life, I ended up hiring her as a leasing agent, and I took her upon myself to be the one that was going to train her, because I gave her my word on that. Mm-hmm. I didn't let my regionals do it or anybody. I did it, and she ended up being one of our top-notch leasing consultants throughout Texas. I mean, she was dynamite.
Wow.
And so that's where I go and say, don't judge a book by its cover. I use that a lot.
Yeah, and I think you used another word, which was passion. And I think a lot of successful leasing agents, they have a passion that kind of comes through in their attitude.
Yes.
And that's important. That's important. You know, one of the other challenges, and I'm just going to kind of bring this up to get an initial comment, then we're going to go into it in our next segment, is challenges with when you're doing fee management or third-party management with ownership. Or investors, there's a challenge there when you're managing a property. Just an initial comment before we take a break about that.
I guess by having from owner managed communities to a fee managed community, they're all treated the same.
Mm-hmm.
It is different, but at the end of the day, everybody is working towards the common goal, and that's to be successful for your owner, or for say a bank owned foreclosure.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna be back to talk a little bit more about that particular challenge. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Mm-hmm.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we are discussing the topic of multifamily management challenges. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio are longtime multifamily industry veterans, Nina Kirtley and Kurt Gilpin. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So we were talking in the last segment a little bit about, before we went to the break, about one of the challenges in management is when you're dealing with different owner interests, if you're fee managing, if you're dealing with asset managers who can be across the country or even across the world, but they're plugged in now because of the internet and social media. And I've had some guests who've been on the show who say that, you know, if there is a bad posting about a property, they may, 20 seconds after it's up, they may get a call from the owner who's in Connecticut saying, what's going on at the property? And so now you've got that added dimension that you have to deal with, which wasn't the way it was 5, 10, 20 years ago in the business. Nina, what have you found, and how do you deal with that?
So I actually experienced that quite a bit. And that's why I always say, check your online ads. Don't just go to one .com company that you pay for. Actually Google the name of your community, because it's amazing what can show up. I had a couple of years ago in a very dangerous area in Houston. It was actually foreclosures, and it was a portfolio foreclosure. So there was, it was eight or 10 communities at this one time. But every week I would have a call with the bank, and I would have and there would probably be about from 5 to 8 other people from the bank from Washington, D.C. to Dallas on these calls. And they were intense. And we would be going through all the communities, their occupancy numbers, their weekly stats. And we would always narrow in on the communities that, of course, had, were struggling with occupancy or income, whichever it was for the week. And we always touched on marketing. And I mean, this was, so at the time we were working on repositioning the actual entire portfolio. And we would talk about, oh, we're doing this online, we're doing that online. And it got to be to where every time that we would say we're doing this or we're doing that, these guys on this call, they were on their computers Googling just to verify everything that I was saying. And I have to tell you, there was only one time that I got caught with my hands out of my pockets. Mm-hmm. And that was because I said, oh yeah, we're updating this every day, this one particular property on xyz.com. And sure enough, I had a team, one of my properties, they were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. And it was their information was 2 weeks old. Mm. And they had missed a really bad negative review. And so another thing I always like to say is inspect what you expect.
Right.
Just because you're pushing and asking for others to check this stuff and stay on top of it, you need to spot check your things. Kind of like what Kurt was saying earlier. Stay involved and keep your eye on it.
Kurt, how about, I know you've had some fee-managed portfolios that you've dealt with in the past. What are some of the challenges with that over owner-managed?
The biggest challenge is just getting to where the owners want, you know, like my boss to be.
Yeah.
You know, we have certain expectations on properties, so sometimes the owners don't feel like that stuff is necessary.
Yeah.
And so keeping the communication open to where they're like, this is what we want, this is what, you know, and getting that across to my boss, mm-hmm. instead of like, you know, just a miscommunication, like, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Well, they don't want to do it because they don't have to, you know? So it's just a communication level. That's probably been the biggest frustration that I've experienced before.
And I want to jump in here and say, you know, I've had the same similar situation to where I ran the fee side of the company, and then we had an owner side of the company, and we were about 8,600 units, and I ran, you know, the bank deals, which were all foreclosures, and the fee side rules and regulations to our management agreements were completely different than the owner properties with their management agreements. Mm-hmm. And so the owner of my company, he expected me to run my deals the same way as the owner deals. But I'm going to stick to what my client is, you know, his expectations.
Sure.
And what, you know, what the management agreement was. And they were quite different, you know, from the monthly investor packets to, you know, how we do our funding if we're over budget or if we need to do a funding request, because I used to have to keep up with those. And like Kurt was saying, it is all about communication, because sometimes I wouldn't even talk to my boss. Mm-hmm. And he would, you know, jump at me, you know, a month later, why'd you do this or why'd you do that? And I'm like, well... And that's because we did not communicate. So mm-hmm. it is about communication and keeping that open line, just so that everyone's aware of, you know, because owner managed and fee managed, it's the same, but it's different.
Yeah. One of the things that I've heard some people talk about is the fact that, for instance, when it comes time to do budgets and you're dealing with a owner managed company, everybody's kind of got their same, you know, the same goal in mind because it's their property. But when you're dealing with a fee-managed property, maybe with an asset manager who's across the country, they don't see the priorities in doing some of the things that you as and your on-site team see doing. That sounds like, it, to me, it could be very frustrating at times.
Well, I actually had, you know, I can kind of give you an example of that. With the same company that I was at budget time, I had to knock out like 15 budgets, and I had 1 week. And so I just did them all myself because the VP of asset management from one of the big lenders in the United States was coming down to review budgets. And so I got all my budgets done, and I, of course, went and presented them to my boss, the owner of the company, and he took a red pen and he knocked my budgets down. And I was so proud of my budgets. But he changed from, I guess, operating expenses to my capital items to even my payroll. And I was really upset because I was so proud of these budgets. And it was because he was trying to get me to mimic these, my budgets, to match the owner property's budgets. You know, as an example, you know, price per door for, say, what your marketing expense should be, or your price per door should be on your maintenance expense. Uh-huh. Well, the owner communities were different than these foreclosure communities that, you know, had different, you know, cost involved. Well, when it came time to do the budget review with the asset manager from out of state, he took these budgets that my boss and I changed, and he slashed them to death. And what I did originally were the right way, because they are different, the way, you know, your expenses are ran sometimes, because mm-hmm. you're going to spend more money on a distressed property versus a community that's, you know, been taken care of throughout the years.
Sure. So, I mean, and a lot of times, I would imagine that an asset manager who is across the country and is not on that site every day doesn't really have the benefit of the knowledge of really what's needed at that property. And part of, I guess, what you guys have to do when you're dealing with them is to make your case and state what it is that you feel is important. And ultimately, they may have the final say, but at least you got to take it to them and show them what you think needs to happen.
Well, and I have to say, it's hard a lot, because you're wanting to tell this asset manager who could be very compassionate to how you run your operations, or a lot of them are very tough, and mm-hmm. they're all about their numbers and their bottom line. But it does make it hard when you cannot say, well, this is what I did, but the owner of the company, he won't let me do what you want me to do. So you just have to know how to work around it.
It's also a challenge that a lot of these asset managers have never been on site, mm-hmm. so they don't know what we're up against, what the teams are up against. So it's constant trying to make them involved, make them aware, and let them know what needs to be done. So.
Yeah, that's a challenge. That's what we're talking about today. Well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to, excuse me, be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
You got one.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts, offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic of multifamily management challenges. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio are longtime multifamily industry veterans Nina Kirtley and Kurt Gilpin. Let's talk about the importance of resident retention, and we've talked about reviews and things like that, but retaining a resident, we've had guests on the show who have talked about the hard cost, the real cost of having to turn a unit because someone has left, and the fact that it's not only the cost of having to go in and do whatever needs to be done from a maintenance standpoint or a painting standpoint and so forth, but also the cost of that unit being vacant and so forth. So, you know, the point that a lot of people make is if you don't have to turn a unit, do whatever you can to make a resident happy. But that can only go so far. You can only give away so much. Concessions aren't necessarily what the kinds of things that people want to be talking about in the multifamily industry. So what kind of things do you try to do for resident retention to try and keep them happy? I know, Kurt, you mentioned different events and things like that. What are some of the other things that you can do?
I mean, one of the biggest things is like, a resident's birthday, will go to their place of business and take them a cake or, if they've been there a while, it's just trying to, if they're a good paying resident, they take care of the property, they care. I really push like choose your neighbor, you choose your neighbor, we're going to give you, a resident referral fee. I think that's the best means of marketing versus using a locator service or that type of stuff, because they're picking who's going to live by them, and we'll reward them with a $300 concession. But I think that goes a lot farther than just trying to get people from off the street. And the corporate outreach program I think has been big too. So just showing people that we care.
Yeah.
Because there's so many apartments in Houston, and if you show, like you go show up to somewhere and you say, hey, here's a pizza for you and your team today, that speaks miles versus, anything else, I think.
And the other thing I've heard people say is that they start working on the renewal the day that the resident moves in. So, some people have told me that they've got on-site teams that kind of get caught off guard when someone is choosing to move because they weren't on top of making sure that they were happy and finding out what their intentions were and so forth. What do you guys do for that?
I mean, normally my teams start working 120 days out and going door to door, talking to the resident, especially on the the add value properties. If they're interested in doing that, we go introduce that to them 120 days out, because normally we require a 60-day notice.
Sure.
So if, we start 120 days out, give them their options and say, hey, we can do this for you in your property or your apartment. Are you interested, whatnot? Starting that way, but working it out as far as you can.
Sure.
And something that I did before in the past, we had a property that we took over weekly. It was a very distressed property, and we were, repositioning the property. So the first thing we did was within the interior of our property was we renovated one of our units, and we made sure it was everything that was within our budget of what our renovations were going to be throughout the community, because every property is going to have a different business plan. But we had we did an open house, and we didn't necessarily do an open house for outreach marketing for people coming in off the streets. We did an open house for our current residents, and it was kind of one of our monthly resident events, but we turned it into something fun. And we kind of treated it like a locator event, to where each apartment was like a different theme, so they had to hit the one bedroom and they had to hit the two bedroom, and we were giving away gifts and prizes and things like that, and they didn't even have to renew or transfer. So that was, it actually ended up being a big hit, because the residents wanted to refer more people because they were, you know, they saw what the new changes were. And then when it was time for their leases to come up, even if they're 6 months, you know, down the road is when people start looking for, you know, maybe another apartment. Uh-huh. Or people start looking when they get mad because, you know, they had to pay a late fee because they didn't want to. Well, they're, you know, some people get so angry, they're just going to skip out because they're mad. But with that, you know, market within your interior community with your current residents.
Yeah.
And that, you know, a lot of that starts with my big thing is stay on top of your work orders.
Right.
You know, make sure your grounds are mowed. Make sure there's not weeds everywhere. Make sure your lighting is all working. Make sure, you know, follow up, verify your work orders. And that is a really big area that I see a lot of times of turnover. And it's due to residents don't feel like they're being taken care of from on a maintenance end. And then you could have a manager that's, you know, starting to slip. And that's where everybody in the office and outside team needs to be involved as a team, is to make sure that, you know, everybody is touching on the customer service.
You know, one of the things that I've had a couple of people mention in the past is that they, you know, they may be able to stay on top of work orders. That may not be an issue. But the fact that there are other issues around the property that are part of the common areas, for instance, life safety issues, or just a feeling of being unsafe, having neighbors that are doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And then the residents who are the good residents who are, you know, that you want to have there, don't feel safe and they want to leave. How do you stay on top of those types of things? As far as when you know that you've got noise issues, you know, you've got potential illegal activities going on. I'm sure that everybody has policies and procedures, but that seems like that's such an important thing to make your residents feel safe to where they want to stay.
One of the things I do is just push daily safety meetings between the staff, you know, mm-hmm. make sure there's communication there. And I'm really big on putting everything in writing. So I'll send it to whatever owner it is and say, hey, we have this going on. Can we do this? Can we do this? Get the proposals, you know, take it off my plate basically mm-hmm. and say, hey, this needs to be addressed, but I need your approval. Because I'm very big on all that, the stuff you just mentioned, you know, lighting and all that type of stuff. I want to make it as safe as possible. I want to make people feel as safe as they can be in their apartment homes. I mean, you know, we can only do as much as we can do, but
sure.
I think it's very important to stay on top of it daily and communicate to the owners. And, you know, ultimately it's going to be the owner's decision, but as long as I present it, then it makes me feel better at the end of the day.
Yeah. You know, and I want to say, you know, every community, they should be doing their light checks from, you know, anywhere from 1 week to 2 times a month to once a month, depending on what your staffing looks like. Or a lot of times people will say, oh, we have a courtesy officer, they're going to go do the light check. Well, regardless of who does that light check, you need to make sure that it's being done. And what I've seen by inspecting and following up on things when, say, I was on site or I was running, you know, say, you know, a handful of communities, just because a light check is done, make sure you do the work and actually correct what you've just walked.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like doing, you know, a life safety inspection inside the units, you know, checking for drips and, you know, a fire and things like that inside a unit. You don't know, so you're making your monthly list as you're walking these units, but who is really going in and typing up that work order and actually correcting what you have found wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something really
important.
Just
making sure that the work gets done.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
just, I walked it and made a list and not doing the work. You got to follow up and make sure, you know, everything is done like it needs to be done.
Because those type of things, they're all done for a reason.
Sure.
You know, from your lighting, you know, to, you know, make, and then, you know, to your drippy faucets, to, you know, the shower head dripping, because, you know, that's water conservation.
Sure.
And that is huge right now. And And those are the things that we need to keep up with and stay on top of, because it touches the bottom line.
Absolutely. And then another thing that we've had a guest on who said something, which I had never heard this before, but as simple as what they call the 3-7 rule, which is have your landscaper make sure that any shrubs are pruned no higher than 3 feet, and that the tree canopies are pruned up at least 7 feet, so that you can't provide a hiding place for someone to do something nefarious on a property. But we could go on and on with this topic. We only have a couple of minutes left, and I always like to ask our guests the question of, and you've alluded to it a little bit in earlier segment, in the segment, but how'd you get in the industry, and what do you like about this industry, Nina?
Well, we're going to age me now. I started out as a part-time leasing consultant back in 1992. I was going to college, and my parents had just moved to Dallas, and my oldest sister was an assistant manager. And I thought, ooh, this sounds so fun. My parents had moved, and I'm like, ooh, I could get a – this was back then, you could do free apartments.
Sure.
They don't really necessarily do those anymore these days. Anyhow, but I thought it was so glamorous. I thought, that's fun. I can go to college. Then I could work on Saturday and Sundays, and I can get a free apartment. I mean, I thought that was just the coolest thing back then. I mean, I was young. Anyhow, I ended up falling in love with this industry. I thought I was just going to do this part-time to get free rent. And then once I graduated, I was going to go, okay, adios. Well, since 1992, I've never looked back. And so my career is multifamily. I've started out, you know, as a part-time leasing consultant, worked my way up to an assistant, to a manager, to... I've worked in the accounting. I've ran HR, but it's we all have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And you're either passionate about it or you're not passionate about it. And a lot of times when we hire, say, leasing consultants that do not have experience, you know within your first couple of days if that person's going to make it in the industry or mm-hmm. not. And it relates back to a personality.
Yeah. Right.
And how they're going to take care of your residents.
Okay.
So I feel like that's why I've been successful, is because I was passionate about taking care of the assets.
Kurt?
I honestly fell into the business. I lived in Richardson, Texas, and went to rent an apartment with two of my buddies, and the people in the office asked me to join their team. Told me I could get a percentage off my rent and make so much money. And so I did it, and here I am 22 years later.
Wow. Well, both of those are not uncommon. I asked every guest the same question, and most of them have started out that same way. Only going to be a part-time position, only going to do it for a while. And here they are years, you know, decades later, and they're still in the business.
You know, I've tried to get out of the business a couple of times over the years, and I keep getting just sucked right back into it. Even being on site,
right.
Going to corporate and accounting, I was like, oh, no, I got to go back on site.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in today. It was a really great show. We could talk about this again, and we probably will. But we will be back next week with another great topic and a power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because... Multifamily matters.
So true.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.